Soul to Soul. Back to life. Hey, welcome to the Soul Savvy Show with EB and Q Lynn Green. Hey, folks, how are you this evening?
Hey, well, how you doing?
Frustrated with this traffic out here in Southern California. Oh, man, I thought today, I went out to buy a brand new car, okay? And so I left today about 11:30, so I said, shucks, I'll be back home about 2 o'clock. Back in the station about 3, and it didn't work out that way. Oh, my goodness. If you've ever been to Southern California, you understand that the traffic here is horrendous. Horrendous. I don't know how it is. And now, New York, EB, you in New York, right?
Yeah, I'm in New York.
Well, so traffic is always bad in New York. If I were in New York, I wouldn't own a car.
Right. Traffic is terrible. It's traffic and parking.
So. Traffic and parking. I remember when I was in New York, every car that I saw had a ding in it. Every car, new cars, old cars, you know, people don't care anything about your stuff in New York. You better get out of the way. As a matter of fact, they will run you over. If you're in the street too long, they'll run you over. EB? QLAN?
Just interested. What kind of car did you get?
Cadillac, XT5.
XT5.
Yeah, it's a SUV. I had a coupe, ATS coupe, you know, I had a flat tire. It's sort of a joke, but it's not really. We have potholes out here in California too that are horrendous, and it cracked my rim, right? Shuck, so I traded the car in.
BQ Lynn, that's what, when you have money and you get a
right,
flat
that's what I'm saying. When you have,
you don't
sound like
pay to fix the flat, you go and buy
a whole new car. That's what you do.
A new car, a SUV. You
right.
Luxury right there.
It sounds like something over my tax bracket. That's what it sounds like, because I don't have those issues. Those sound like issues I want to have, like, right now.
Right. I'm just trying to get a new chain for my bike.
Well, you know, Donald Trump just gave you guys a new tax break, so you should have some extra money, right?
I know, right? Well, he did for me. I don't know about people that make, you know, whatever the certain amount of money. I know, I think, I was going to get to that in the savviness, talk about Dave Chappelle's comedy special. I know people feel a way about it, but he had one joke in there that was hilarious about, he's like, Trump is making it better for me. He's like, you poor whites. It's not so good for y'all. I thought that joke was hilarious. But anyway, yeah, Will, you got a new whip and everything. I thought you was going to say, like, what's it called? What's those things called in a car, like a transmission or something went out? I thought you was going to say that. You talk about a new tire. Usually people get just new tires, a new set of tires. You got, like, a whole new car by itself.
Right.
So, right.
I don't have time to play around, Q-Man. I don't have time. This says, look.
That sounds like 1% tax bracket problem. That's what it sounds like.
No. I'm not claiming that because he's people be coming out of the woodwork asking for a loan. Like, hey, don't put that out.
He's like, man, it might be somebody listening in right now. They got my phone number. Might hear this, so we ain't gonna put that out there. Okay, well, we ain't gonna put it out there.
Okay.
Welcome to Soul Savvy Radio, people. Yeah, we ain't gonna do that. Welcome to Soul Savvy Radio. We back. Last week's show was insane, mostly because I was incoherent most of the time. It started off a little rocky, and then, you know, I told you I was a little bit, I didn't know if it was the edibles. I was like, what's going on right now? But then everything started happening, and then, you know, I was getting a little lightheaded from that bag race. I was like, we got to wrap this up in like 10 minutes, because I'm about to pass out in this chair, because ain't nobody here to pick me up out the floor. So I'm like, yeah. But you know, I was going to clarify something. I was going to skip past it. Me and Will were not fighting last week at all. If y'all listen to the show, we like throw jokes out there. I guess we got to, like, tone it down just a little bit. Just a little bit, we'll tone it down, because y'all come in and think we fighting. We're not fighting. We just like throwing jabs at each other, and people were...
Yeah, we do that every week.
Me laugh.
I don't want to tone it down.
Yeah, we got to tone it down, though, because I'm trying to, you know, it might be people listening. We don't know who's listening. So just keep a clean show. We'll throw a little stuff in there. It might be at the beginning of the show, but we'll tone it down a little bit. But, yeah, and also I wanted to clarify, like, it was somebody that sent me a message and was saying, when we talked about Nipsey Hussle and that whole situation, a lot of people were saying, I saw on the internet, but that person, they were like, would it be a problem if he took that part out of the, what he said about real black men and talking about homosexuals, and he said if we took that out, would that made a difference? I think it did. For me, it wouldn't have made a difference because the intent behind what he's saying is trying to classify what a black family is, and I was saying that it's specific to what he thinks a black family should be, and I'm like, it's, like I said, it's different, diverse types of black families, so you can't just say, oh, just a straight man, black man and black woman. It's like different kinds of black love, so you can't just say, oh, this is black love. So I was trying to clarify that. I don't think I clarified it enough last week, but a lot of people said they agree to disagree with what we said, and I'm like, that's fine, but I feel like still you're being complacent in the conversation. That's why I was trying to be specific with what I was saying. Because people try to generalize the points that we try to make and try to say, oh, that's not what he said. I'm like, well, I'm reading what he said. What else would he say? So I would just say, if that's your opinion on that, then I'll just say that you're being complacent. What did you think about last week when we were talking about it, EB?
I mean, I think even if he had taken that part out, that it still would not have made a difference because there are so many other factors, because in the respectability politics also come into play, that black men are supposed to look a certain way and everybody has to wear a suit. Nipsey Hussle got tattoos all over his neck. Nipsey Hussle don't never wear his pants at his waistline. He's always sagging in baggy clothes or too tight clothes. So, I mean, why didn't he show a picture of men who look like him? Is he saying that he is not a real man or what the black man should be? You got to think about it like that. I mean, and people like to, you know, try to avoid the topic and skirt around the topic. And that's why I think the majority of people are disagreeing, because they don't understand. If this had come from a white man or a white woman and they had posted a photo of all white men and said, this is what the American man should be, black people would have lost their junk. It would have been outrage. Everybody would have been mad, saying, well, no, Americans are more than just white. So what I do a lot of times is I like to substitute when things like that come up. I like to substitute the sexuality portion for race and watch how the tables turn and see how people really feel then.
I 100% agree everything you said. I think, to me, I feel like, just to reiterate again, people just like being complacent with this, and they feel as though their religion ties them to why they feel like this. I'm like, but if you read the Bible, it don't even say it like that. It's just some man's interpretation of what some old scripture said. And if you read, like, the original text, it doesn't say that.
At all.
Like, and so unless you are fluent, and like I said before, the other shows, If you're not fluent in Greek or Hebrew, you don't know what the Bible says. All of it, and again, like, people take everything from the Bible as literal translation, but they'll take the literal translation of out of wedlock babies or out of wedlock cohabitation. Nobody has an issue with that, but I have issues with other things. Like, that's like, they treat everything like a hierarchy of sin and all this stuff. And I'm like, y'all don't even go to church like that. So how do you feel that way about one specific group of people? But it's mind-boggling me, people that always have something to say about this. I'm like, it don't even affect you. So why do you feel this way about this? That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
it's like,
Nipsey Russell was talking about, you know, the black family and the black man. Nipsey Russell has children out of wedlock. He has children that, you know, it's been said that he's not taken care of.
His first
baby mother said that. I mean, so, you know, you take stuff like that with a grain of salt. People you know, I don't mind people having opinions on anything, but I like people to own up for their stuff. And if what you said is bigotry, and you're a bigot, just own up to it. That's it. Just like I want racists to own up to being racist. I want misogynists to own up to being misogynistic. I want bigots to just own up to being bigots. You're a homophobe. You're a bigot. It's you know, just own up to it. I can't change your mind.
Exactly.
But own up
to it. I can't. Right. That's all it is. And I know we got, it was some more related questions related to that, but I don't even know if I'm going to feel like answering it because it's like being redundant of saying the same thing and it falling on deaf ears. So for me to explain that and for you, your outcome to your interpretation of that being like, oh, I agree to disagree. What? Really?
I mean,
like that's how you approach the conversation?
Basically, you're okay with people being disrespected and that's okay. You're okay with that. Okay, now we know.
It'd be like the same thing. And then when you try to bring in like black people, and then they like, oh, that's not the same thing. I'm like, how is it not? That's like a white person sitting up there calling you like saying, oh, I don't agree with you having equal rights. What? That sounds crazy. Like, that's what you sound like.
What is there to agree with?
Yeah, it's like, right, exactly. Like,
what are you agreeing with?
Right, exactly. It just drives me crazy, people with this, like, narrow point of view and stuff. And then I'm just not getting on Facebook anymore because it's mostly, because there's some cool people I follow, and I don't want to rough it up. But I'm like, man, y'all got some, like, really, like, homophobic. And it's, like, blatant. Like, it's not like you say something, like, casual. Like, y'all actually, like, making jokes. And then if somebody try to check you on it, you try to, like, bully them. And then you try to, like, it becomes this, like, childish thing of saying, oh, you defending them, so are you saying that? Like, what? Like, why would you, like, just throw that out there? Like, why can't you just feel, like, some compassion for a human being? Why does it have to be, like, all this extra stuff? And then when you point out what they're doing, they say, oh, you trying to bully. Then they try to turn on you and say you bullying them. What? And they're trying to say, oh, you trying to make everybody, like, trying to get in with the media of trying to make us conform to liking them. Like, you can't make me. Like, what does that mean? How is somebody making you like something?
You know what?
That doesn't make any kind of sense.
It always boggles my mind. People will say that the media, there's an attack, or they'll say that they don't want their children seeing these types of things because their children are easily influenced. I grew up, I didn't see not one gay man on TV. All heterosexual couple. That didn't influence me at all. So I don't understand the correlation between that might influence my children. Raise your children.
That's so dumb. I hate
parent.
When they bring that up. That's so dumb. Because they'll say, I don't want to influence my children. I'm like, right. It's like somebody said that. I'm like, yo, you do know it's like gay people with their parents are still married. Like, you do know those people exist.
Right.
Like, and that's their whole thing.
Wait,
where's the black fathers at? What?
Shout out to my parents.
Right. It's like crazy. It's like they like, oh, there ain't no black fathers in the household. That's why all of them gay. Really?
Whose choice is that?
And then they try to. And then I hate the stereotypes of what they make of gay people. That all they like sex crazed and all this stuff. I'm like, I see more like healthy gay marriages than I do heterosexual ones. If we talk about in terms of what you feel something is, I'm like, and they're like, what they gonna say when they have kids? I'm like, I'm like, why y'all make big deals out of stuff that's not your conversations? I'm like, that's not a big deal. Like, y'all make big deals out of stuff, talk about what you see on TV, like you said on TV. I'm like, you know, this crazy stuff I saw on TV that I'm not influenced by.
Right.
How many movies I was watching as a kid I wasn't supposed to be watching. I was watching movies that had a lot of sex parts in it. I was watching movies with a lot of bloody, gory stuff in it. It ain't influenced me to do nothing, so I don't get
at
that.
At all. I mean, come on.
It's crazy. But, yeah, we should get to the ragged people and savvy news. I know it's going to throw off the music thing, but hell. Sorry, y'all, if y'all hear me eating on the mic because I just got some food from this vegan restaurant and it's off the chain and it's still hot. It just came in while we were talking, and I had myself on mute. So when EB was talking, so I was like, oh, shit, hopefully they don't hear But yeah, I got this food. So excuse me if you hear me chewing on the mic. I don't want to be ghetto and do this at the same time. I'm starving. Oh, look, I'm all up. I took a, sorry, I almost choked on this.
On this food. Wait a minute.
Slow down, Q-Lynn. Slow down a little
bit. I'm sorry y'all being ghetto eating on the mic. This food is good as hell. This is the first vegan restaurant I've ever had that had food that's seasoned to perfection. This, I don't know if it was like, I don't know what, but this, goddamn. Ooh, shit. This is good. Oh, sorry, I'm getting lost. Track of mind thinking about this food. Anyway, it's a zucchini. Oh, this man, there's sauces. I'm over here having a moment, y'all. Sorry. This pasta is off the chain. Zucchini pasta. Off the chain. But anyway, we get to Raggedy People and Savvy News. Go with Raggedy first. You want to go ahead, EB?
With the Raggedy News?
Yeah, first.
This is from you, though. So, the first thing, let's just get this out of the way. R. Kelly's birthday was this week.
Who on that? You almost made me choke on my food.
I don't know what else to say.
Fuck that nigga's birthday. I don't care.
We gonna put it in Raggedy People News. I mean, you know.
Listen.
I'm
gonna say this, and I don't feel no way about it. If y'all get offended by it, I don't give two F's. Y'all get offended by this. Yeah, it was his birthday. I hope he had the worst birthday he could possibly have. Also, whoever that jacked him the other day, the other month, I hope they went back and got more.
Did you see?
I hope he had the worst birthday in the world.
Did you see the clip of him at I think it was an Escape concert? He was guessing, and he was on stage singing "Happy Birthday" to himself.
Yeah, I heard about it. I thought it was a joke. On some show I was listening to, they said he did that. I thought they were joking, but I guess it was serious. I didn't hear.
No, it was real. I saw the video. I mean, I'm very honest about my relationship with R. Kelly and his art. As an artist, I think he is one of the most gifted and has been since the beginning of his career. Personally, I don't mess with him. I know that a lot of people don't. You know, they don't get that or how I could do that, and they don't mess with him at all. And I respect that because I, you know, but I mean, yeah, I guess it is Raggedy People News.
Yeah, I hope he had the worst birthday in the world.
Damn. All right, and then the 50 Cent and Ja Rule today on Twitter. Did you see any of that?
I saw the. The tweets, you know how people do, the jokes online. I saw that, but I didn't
right.
know. If you could fill me in on it. I heard a little bit about, I saw one tweet somebody had retweeted, and it was saying that he was, like, dogging his movie that just came out. Was it the Den of Thieves or something?
Den of Thieves, right. So
I was like, this nigga trying to promote something. He must got a flop concert that nobody don't want to go to. Like,
but this is the thing. As soon as I saw the first tweet, because the first tweet I saw was from Ja Rule about 50 Cent. And my first thought was, oh, they're working together. This is promotion for this movie. And sure enough, 50 Cent and Ja Rule started going back and forth. And then before you know it, Ja Rule is hashtagging 50 Cent's movie. I'm like, oh, they working together on this. I don't believe a minute that there's an actual beef still going on in the year of our Lord 2018 between 50 Cent and Ja Rule. I just don't. And you can't convince me otherwise that they're working together. And it's a win-win situation. 50 gets this promotion. Ja Rule's name just gets to be said by anybody because I'm sure that's what he wants. And I think Ja Rule also got like a concert series coming up, though. Hey, I think they both raggedy. I do.
Right, exactly.
But I did listen to some 50 and Ja Rule today at work.
Oh, no, I wasn't doing that. I mean, their music was good. Like I said, I don't know what show it was. I think it was the show where Shaka was on when we talked about this. And I was saying, look, stuff was good. Ja Rule's time was good for what it was, but I'm not sitting here listening to Put It On Me in 2018. Like, we're not doing that, and I'm not listening to 50 Cent's Candy Shop, like, 2018. Like, these songs ain't replay value. Like, they was good for the time period for what it was. Now, I saw people on the internet saying, y'all know Ja Rule was popping out here before 50 came on and stole his swag. Yes, it's evident, but I don't care, like, about none of this. Like, who was popping? Yes, I was very much, I think, teenager, I think 16 or 17 when they was popping out here. So that wasn't that long ago to me to remember that. Like, I wasn't 4 or 5 years old like these new kids now that don't know who Toni Braxton is. I just saw somebody saw that they didn't know, that they had to tell somebody who Toni Braxton was. I was like, what's going on out here? Other people don't know who TLC from En Vogue, like, it's like kids out here like that. So,
They lost.
Right, and so it's like, I'm not really trying to entertain these conversations about Ja Rule and 50 Cent 2018. We got, like, whatever that was. I don't know if Irv Gotti's
free promotion.
Right. I don't know if Irv Gotti's bad built behind put him up to this, but they both can go in the trash. I know Irv Gotti had some kind of series on BET, whatever the hell that hip hop thing was. I wasn't intrigued. As soon as I heard he was part of Project, I was not intrigued anymore. Because Irv Gotti is a douchebag. I think that was my first tweet on the internet in like 2008. He has some kind of VH1 reality show.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Irv Gotti is
I didn't watch it, but I do remember that.
I was like, this nigga's trash. And I just know that from, like, I've seen him out public. This dude is trash. Like, he's, like, raggedy. And so anybody affiliated, I know the history behind him, like, you know, getting a lot of deals, like a lot of people that's, like, popping, like DMX, you know, Jay-Z. Like, he's part of all that. But I don't care. Like, he's whack to me. Like, and they all corny. Like, anybody affiliated with Murder, Inc. is corny to me. Like, I don't want to hear nothing from Ja Rule. I don't want to hear nothing from Ashanti. That time has passed. You know what I mean?
Wait. But Ashanti got hit.
See what?
She got hit.
I guess. I know. Like, I'm not trying to. I know that sounds mean. I know I'm being very dismissive with it, but it's like that wasn't for me. Like, for like during that time period when she came out, like, it was like way more, like, so many great singers. Well, the ones they were trying to, like, that, you know, during that time period, it was a little fickle, so y'all was letting anybody in during that time period when Ashanti was popping. Like, y'all let Keisha Cole come in, like, right after that. Stuff happening in the music.
I did not let Keisha Cole come in.
The what?
I wasn't on the board. I don't know who let her in. It wasn't me.
Right. I'm like, that. Yeah, if y'all like it, I love it, I guess.
But
if that's your girl.
Her first album.
The first album, I got to listen to it because I can't remember what was on there. I probably liked the first album. Can't remember where I was at doing when that first album came out. I think I was in technical school when that album came out. I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah, okay. Who else in Ratchet People News?
See, I didn't know whether to put this in Raggedy People News or not, because I'm not necessarily calling her raggedy, but Monique and the Netflix boycott going on now, or that she wants everyone to join in on.
Oh, man. I would say yes, just partially for, I'm not giving up my Netflix account, because there's still some shows. I still haven't watched Master of None, the second season yet, so maybe still, no, I can't get rid of it just for that alone. And she probably like, that's probably what the problem is there. But I'm like, okay, I didn't get to hear all the video. I was trying to pull up the video before we got on air. Excuse me. This King Pops is stuck all up in my throat. Sorry, y'all, but listen, this is what happens when you get to the studio late. You got to eat on the mic. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm starving. The doctor told me I got to eat this many times a day. So I'm trying to follow doctor's orders. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry if I'm chewing on a mic. Okay. What was my point?
You good.
I forgot. Okay. I get what you're saying.
You didn't see the whole.
Yeah. Right. I get what you're saying. But it sounds like an easy. Listen, it's Netflix. I feel like any negotiation, you have all the negotiation power just for your catalog alone. And also that you're currently still, like, doing tours and stuff. And I know she sells out, like, I know she sells out shows. And not just little comedy clubs. She does theaters. And somebody can correct me. I think she does arenas as well.
I think.
So. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You finish.
So, with the negotiation process, if you look at, I got a whole thing on this. I should have broke down my points and wrote it down because I know I'm going to get ADD and mix it all together. But with her negotiation process, she got the whole catalog, anything. You know, she's done TV. She's done movies. She has an Oscar. She has other awards, all kind of award catalogs from doing the movie Precious and all that stuff, and then getting, I think, Image Awards for, Image Awards and all that stuff. So she has the backing catalog to say, hey, I want this much money. And then also her history as a comic. Like, she was on Queens of Comedy. You know, they were selling out tours and stuff like that. Like, they were doing big arenas and stuff like that, you know. Like, you know, and so she has the, it ain't even about relevance. It's about what she's bringing to the table. And I think the arguments that Netflix would make is that maybe they don't think she has the crossover audience to back to, mm-hmm. you know, to pay for the, what would be like if she's not getting the ratings on Netflix of like having a big audience, you know what I mean? That crossover, cause the crossover is the one that's going to get her. Maybe they did lowball the shit out of her cause she should have got at least 2 million. Maybe not. Maybe that was what she negotiated for. Maybe 2 to 5, maybe 7. I don't know. That might have been her, what she might have wanted. But 10 million might stretch it. But I think anything in 2 to 7 million, they should have gave her off jump just from her record alone.
I agree with you. They offered her, what, 500,000?
Yeah, that's. Are you kidding me?
Crazy.
Y'all gave a fucking stealing ass. Sorry, I got this pasta in my mouth thinking about this. Got stealing ass. Amy Schumer, $12.5 million dollars.
But
and I already
it
told
goes
y'all
back to what you said. You were saying about she doesn't have that crossover audience. Monique, like you said, Monique has sold out arenas. Monique has sold out theaters. Monique has an Academy Award. Monique. Had a TV show on BET. She had a TV show on UPN, a talk show on BET. She did the Queens of Comedy. She's been in this business for well over 20 years. But what Monique doesn't have is a white audience. And she doesn't, even with all of that, you know, you can sell out all you want, but if you're not selling out to white audiences, Netflix is not going to offer you the money that you want because it's...
Right, exactly.
Netflix is worried about their profit, basically.
Right, like what they gonna make back from? Like, okay, it's
right.
cool that a few black people, but what is the rest of it? And that's
right.
what I think what their point was, and they did the. Because I say that because Amy Schumer's negotiation was that she sells out whatever shows whoever pays for them. Well, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
if they check Monique's audience. Like, I'm trying to figure out, that's why we need to get her on the show so we can, like, figure out, like, not necessarily ask them, like, what they negotiate, like, specifically, like, how much they ask for, but what do they take in consideration in negotiation rooms of
right,
what
said,
it is
that
you
bring. Right, because they said it wasn't about
your
resume.
Right.
I do think she was wrong at, though, was taking it to her Instagram in a video. Falling for the boycott of Netflix. Like, I think that's bad business on her part. I'm pretty sure her husband is her manager, and I think he needs to be fired at this point. Like, that's terrible. Like, why would you take it to your Instagram? What you should have done, or what would have been the smart thing to do, in my opinion, is Netflix said no, okay, go to Hulu, HBO, Showtime, Amazon Prime. Pitch it there, get more money than Netflix is willing to offer you. Perform the hell out of it. Make your bank. Make sure your shit is good. Make it a hit. And then you have those bragging rights to take back to Netflix. Make them regret not giving you what you asked for the second time. So moving forward, you're able to charge double, triple what you originally asked for. Just because they know now, okay, she has that star power. I think by taking it to Instagram, no one's going to want to work with Monique now. This is the only, this is similar to what happened when she made the comments about Lee Daniels and Oprah Winfrey. I don't think she understands. I don't know. She probably, maybe she does understand, because I know Monique is very opinionated. And go ahead. What'd you say?
I was saying I listened to a podcast. I haven't listened to some recent episodes. I need to get on that. And I know she's going to do, they're going to do one recently on, I think they're going to do, I don't know if they have already on their open relationship podcast. I got to listen in to hear more of her perspective on. But I would say, I don't know. Cause when Sydney seemed like what he says, it makes sense to me. Like when he broke down what he said, but I just think they like some all or nothing. I think their mentality, or maybe his, because they like conjoined, so I think they're both on the same page in terms of what her career is. I think they're like an all or nothing kind of thing. But I feel like it's like different ways to try to get to it. But I feel like you said, I think her making these, like being so direct with like boycott this, that's what's like scaring people. Because, you know, like this has been a talk, like the Me Too campaign and all the stuff that's going on. And I guess we could kind of transition to Tracee Ellis Ross and her pay dispute. It's the same thing, but they're like silently doing it, and like they're in that space to make it a big deal, but they're not going to do it too much to where they won't lose a check. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like it's a way for you to play the game, not necessarily use that term the way Lee Daniels mean, to just shut up and don't say nothing. I don't mean I was going ask Will about this. Will, I'll wait to after his segment to ask, because I had like a couple questions I wanted to ask him on this. But we'll wait till we get ready to go to break. We can wrap up Savvy News before we go to break. But ragging people, I was going to ask him, because it's like specific to like what do you do in the negotiation room. But I'll ask Will that when we come back from break. But it's like so much into like negotiating people don't understand. And with Hollywood, it's like way different. And that's why I wanted to come on to, like, explain what's that process. Because we all, like, if you're in business or you work for somebody or whatever kind of company, or corporate, especially you work in corporate America, there's a lot of business meetings and stuff going on, especially if you're trying to conjoin or, like, partner with people. It's a lot of back-and-forth negotiations. And people have different – because the way I see it, how I would negotiate it, if Netflix said $500,000, I want to know what was that point to where they said, no, we can't do this. Like, how much further did the negotiation, you know what I mean? Like, how much further did the negotiation go? Like,
right. Or
like,
honestly, did it start off at $500,000, or is that just
right? That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to, like, that's why I'm trying to wait and give my pick.
Yeah.
I don't want to always
jump in it. Like
I know what's going on, because people get so caught up in what somebody's reputation is, like, oh, she got reputation for this, so I'm going to believe that because she's doing this.
No,
I want to know all, like, what's going on.
Right.
Right.
I think in Monique's case, not to say that I know Monique or I know anything about her business, and I don't like overstepping my bounds, but I'm going to say this. I think Monique is just not willing to play the game, quote-unquote, in terms of putting up with Hollywood BS and going along with the industry's politics. I think she says what she means. She means what she says. And that's just the way she is. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Actually, I love her for doing that. But where I think the message gets mixed up is, number one, she's a black woman. So no matter what she says, like today, before anybody had the full facts, I just kept seeing the words bitter and angry going down my timeline. And I was like, y'all don't know anything about what happened, but the first thing you do is accuse her of being bitter or angry just because she's opinionated and she's not willing to put up with BS. Now, that could be in part because instead of, you know, quietly negotiating or quietly building a campaign, you took straight to your Instagram, and it wasn't even like an official press release. You took straight to your Instagram, and you're like spitting out words really, really. It's like you had the script rehearsed, but it wasn't your it was a great plan, but your follow through was terrible. And I think that is what keeps happening with Monique. I think that's what keeps happening.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's partially that, because I don't know. She might could have like 2 to 3 different things going on that won't come out till 2019. So people keep saying she's blackballed, and I remember her saying that. People said that, and she had the, what is it called, the Betty Davis movie coming out. And it did well on HBO. Like, people didn't know that, but they were saying, like I was saying, maybe she just picks, that's what I'm saying. I can't, like, say she's blackballed. That's the reason why she ain't getting gigs, because maybe she is getting offers, but maybe her thing is, like, if it's not this amount of money that we asked for, then I'm not doing it. And maybe the project she has working on, maybe they are offering that, but maybe she just picks and chooses her things. But I'm saying with the Netflix one, I would just say, like, it's, like, multiple. I feel like, I just want to know, like, specifically what, like, the way he detailed what happened with Lee Daniels, I want them to detail what happened with this next series deal so I can see what it was. Because if you went through every option and that's still the number they came up with, then that's bullshit. But I can't say that because I don't know what the – because you know it's a back and forth. If you're a businesswoman or a businessman, you know there's always a back and forth. Even the deals I do now, like, I do my own business. I don't work for anybody. Everything I do in terms of music and doing music and doing journalist stuff, all that is mine. I don't have somebody I answer to. So if I don't do a deal right, that's all on me. And so, and since her and her husband are their own business, all that money is going to them. It's not a second party getting that, or unless she got like a lawyer or something going on and got the deal going on. But most of that goes through me. So if I mess up on that, that's all my fault. And so, I just have to hear what it is that they're negotiating for me to get the whole picture. Because I haven't got the whole picture. It's just mostly the Instagram post is saying, oh, she says boycott this. But I'm like, what happened in that room? That's all I'm saying. And then I guess we get to Trey Sales Ross because it's going a little bit over.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to go to break so we can get to Will's segment and then get to the topic of the night. But Trey Sales Ross, yeah, this one, I just think, 100%. She, whatever it is that she's asking for, she needs to get. And a lot of people were saying the executive producer, he has an executive producer title and he brought it to ABC, which is 100% true. But all that, if anything, should be separate checks. You know what I mean?
Of course.
It shouldn't be, he gets all that at one time. So if he's getting a fee for that, all that should add up to him, all that splitting up to a check. But to get to the point, he's a co-executive producer. It's not necessarily all him. It's Kenya Barrett, and all that stuff. And he has another team of writers on there. Go ahead.
I think the point that a lot of people are trying to make, I'm guessing, is that, like you said, she deserves a lot more than what she's getting. And I don't watch Blackish. I have not watched Blackish. But from what I understand, she is the star of the show.
So, she is.
Her and Jennifer Lewis. I feel like, you know, she carries the show. Now, what she's doing differently than Monique, instead of taking it to Instagram, from what I heard, is she's saying that she's not going to work as much until they do something about the difference in pay between her and Anthony Anderson. Yeah, that's smart of me. I mean, all right, well, if I'm being paid less, then I'm going to perform less.
Yeah, she's an award-winning actor. Like, she's won more awards from that show than Anthony has.
Right. I mean,
just recently in the Image Awards. Well, he wins in the Image Awards, but she's won in Golden Globe.
Right.
I think right. the Emmys as well. So
right. So I think she deserves more money. I mean, I'm with both cases. I think Monique deserves way more than $500,000, and I think Tracee Ellis Ross deserves to be paid
Absolutely.
Just as much as Anthony Anderson is getting paid for being on the show.
Right. If I'm trying to think correctly, I think she gets paid $100,000 an episode, and he probably gets paid close to $500,000 probably an episode.
Yeah, see, no.
That's too much.
I mean, there's a difference between paying him more because he's executive producer or he pitched the show to ABC and lowballing her. And you're definitely
right.
not giving her what she deserves in that case. I mean, you're not even getting paid half of what you're getting paid.
Exactly. What else? That was Savvy. I had it listed up, and I got to go back. What's some Savvy news?
Savvy.
Oh yeah. Shout out to Kevin Spacey for being not only a pedophile but also racist. What is going on, dude?
Let me pick one, sir.
You can't pick both of these at the same time.
He's trying to do it all. And it's
right.
really sad because I really was a fan of Kevin Spacey. Like, I thought House of Cards was a great show, but he shot himself in the foot multiple times.
I ain't even seen that show, House of Cards. People was like, now I gotta stop watching House of Cards.
Right, it's so good. It's like, it's so good. But, yeah, he shot himself in the foot. It's sad, but, you know, hey.
Right, he hella raggedy.
Yeah.
What else? What's some savvy news? Oh, yeah, the Image Awards, I watched it. I recorded it because I think I fell asleep when it was coming on. And let me think. I'm trying to think. I like most of the fashion that was going on. Like, I love what Niecy Nash had on. I love what Lonnie Love had on. Her hair was amazing. Her makeup, flawless. And then Halle Berry, I liked the Halle Berry. I didn't care too much about her hair, but... Her outfit, it looks similar to what she had on at the, was it the Golden Globes?
Yeah.
What was the recent one that just came on? Wasn't
Golden
that
Globes.
One? Yeah, it was nice. I thought she was going to wear her hair down, but it still looked good, but who else? Lynn Whitfield. Lynn Whitfield, her hair, she has like this whole, she looks like she's about to star in Black Panther.
Lynn Whitfield is Black Hollywood royalty, and I want people to start
yes.
respecting her.
I'm mad they didn't win no. I heard there's a lot of people that I know watch that show on OWN, and they didn't get no awards. They keep giving it to the
yeah.
same people. Like,
exactly.
Blackish won. I was like, what the fuck? Like, it's good, but damn, like, get somebody else to get. Like, there was some other good shows on there that could have won. I was like, kind of messed up.
And then
Girls Trip randomly won over everything, I guess because they got, they always do that. Like, if somebody got snubbed, like, they did that last year what's that dude named? Michael Jordan?
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, and, what's that movie called? Rocky?
Was it the Creed?
Whatever.
Creed.
Whatever that is, the Rocky, whatever the hell that was, he got snubbed, I guess, for the Oscars and shit, so they gave him an award. And they did the same thing with Girls Trip. I'm like, it was good, but is it really award worthy? Because it wasn't, I mean, it was good, but it wasn't like you have that up against Detroit and, like, serious ass films. That was the only comedy. I'm like, what the hell with this category? Who thought of this?
Wow.
To put all this together. And they weren't nominated.
So
I don't think they were nominated.
What? So bad. They had Girls Trip up against Detroit.
It was like, you know, like the Oscars, they put like the best movies last. It was sort of that category. They had Detroit and then the one with the nigga that play everybody in the biopics. What's his name? What was that movie? Martial Law, whatever the hell that movie was. Why the hell did they have Chadwick Boseman or whatever his name is playing Martial Law? Do they not understand this is a whole like shade of a different person? Like what?
Nope.
What the hell?
Nope.
This nigga play everybody.
I'm still mad.
He's gonna play Frederick Douglass.
I'm
next
still
Bobby.
Mad. Nope.
This nigga.
What?
Go ahead.
That whole Thurgood Marshall movie. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember when they did the Nina Simone movie and Zoe Saldana was supposed to play Nina Simone? And everybody was pissed because they were like, Zoe's too light to play Nina. And, you know, part of Nina's struggle was her being a dark-skinned black woman. And I get that. I love Zoe Saldana, but I get people being angry about it. I wasn't angry personally, because I thought that Zoe would have been able to pull it off. I didn't see the movie, but I'm hearing that she didn't pull it off well. So I wasn't angry about it. But you got Chadwick Boseman playing Thurgood Marshall. Part of Thurgood's story is him being so light. So how did we let that happen?
Yeah, that nigga play everybody. This nigga play Jackie Robinson, James Brown. Don't let these niggas look like. What? James Brown was like 5'2", and Jackie Robinson like 6'1". Y'all kidding me right now?
Yeah.
Oh man, I think I took my grandmother to go see that movie. She enjoyed it, but it was produced by what's his name, the acid a stone dude. What's his name from Mick Jagger? Mick Jagger. I meant the Rolling Stones. Mick Jagger produced it. I'm like, this is terrible.
Mick Jagger produced what?
What was it, James Brown, Bobby?
Get On Up?
Yeah.
I had no idea, wow.
Yeah, he had like a producer credit on there. I was like, yo, this shit is terrible. Cause, hey, he's like, look! He's like, I'm telling you something there, son. Come here. I was like, what? Doing an impression of James Brown. He's like, we're going to hit it on the one there. He's like, come in like this. I want all y'all coming. Huh, huh, huh. I was like, man, what is he doing? It don't sound like James Brown. I was
wow.
Like, what is going on? You ain't never seen that movie? I think, what was the guy named that died last year? He was on, what the hell is that show called? It was a vampire series. What was the one? He played a gay guy
True
that worked
Blood.
At the...
Yeah, True Blood.
He played Bobby Bird. But, oh, dang. I forgot. Yeah, he played... Oh, man, I can't believe you ain't never seen this movie.
No,
he
but now...
He played Bobby...
I mean, I gotta see it now.
He had played Bobby Bird. And they were pretty much, like, trying to center the story around him and Bobby Bird and their relationship and all that stuff. And then, I think Jill Scott was in the movie. He played his second wife, I think. I'm not sure. Dina Brown or something, but that shit was terrible. I was like, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was like, it seemed like more of an impression more than him. And I'm like, they kept like randomly going from like the 60s to the 70s and then randomly going back to his childhood. I'm like, this is fucking out of order.
Okay.
Biopic. I hate that. Like, stay with with the timeline. I don't like that. They started out in like the 80s and then they went back to like the 60s to where he had to open for the Rolling Stones or something.
Right.
And Mick Jagger got mad and was trying to steal the swag or something like that. It was just hella random. I was like, yo, I hate stuff out of order. Just like for Instagram, out of order timeline. Like, I hate that just as much.
That's raggedy news. I saw something yesterday from a DJ who had a gig last Saturday that I really wanted, I would have loved to have gone. I just saw the post yesterday, a whole 6 days later. How does that happen, Instagram?
Right, exactly. I know, right? They were having shit on for like 4 days. I'm like, if y'all don't get this timeline
right.
Back to chronological order, got me looking out, acting like a stalker, like I'm stalking
right.
People.
Right, I'm liking stuff and like, oh, they posted this
like,
a while ago.
Right, exactly. But we're going to do, I'm trying to pull up, what else was in Savvy News so we go to break? Because we went like 15 minutes over.
Oh,
I didn't realize.
All of the birthdays this week, all the women in music birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Wheeler, Dannice Marie Johnson, Lisa, Sheila Hutchinson of The Emotions, and the great Angela Winbush.
Angela Winbush, the Angela. Nice. Like, do you watch that show, Sister Circle?
No, I don't.
This girl say that, like, every time when they, I hate when they, like, introduce it. I'm like, the name is on the credits of the intro. Like, why y'all gotta keep introducing y'all? But she say that, she like, I'm the Keanu Dansby. And she got this big old gap. Like, that shit is big. Like,
oh, no.
It's, like, you can parallel park in that motherfucker. I'm like, God damn.
Wait,
like, why
is
you got,
that the show with Selena,
like, why you gotta grin so hard? Say again.
That's the Selena Johnson show?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, everything's good except for her, because I'm like, man, she's annoyed. She annoys me. Like, every time she talks, like, they say she's a comedian. I'm like, she ain't said nothing funny since I've been listening to this show. All she be doing is getting on my nerves. And it look like Selena and Quad don't like her. Like, because Quad be, like, she be giving, like, little, like, subliminal, like, because Quad would say, like, I'm yours truly. And then she'll come in, I'm the Keanu Dansby. And then she just be looking like, bitch, really? You gonna keep saying that every show? When I say my line, you gotta say it like that? And then just be like, little shit. And then she always debating with Selena. That get on my nerves. I'm like, girl, you too crump for no reason. But I got ADD talking about that. But yeah, shout out to all the people that birthed, especially Angela Winbush, because that's my top five. I told you that's my top five singer of all time. And what we gonna do right now, let's go to break. I was trying to make sure we didn't have nothing else to talk about. I think we talked about everything.
The TV shows, real quick. The Black.
Oh, yeah, TV shows.
On the CW with Cress Williams. Great show.
Yes.
And,
great show.
The 911 show on Fox with Angela Bassett, Aisha Hines, Rockman Dunbar. That's a good show.
It is. And shout out to somebody. I forgot who it was. I think it was XD that said it. He called him Scooter Lightning. I was fucking dying. This is hilarious.
Scooter Lightning.
Yep. Oh! That shit had my side hurt when I read that. I was like, that shit is hilarious. But that's a good show. They got that one girl on there that they used to be on Disney Channel.
Oh,
like
yeah.
A full-grown ass adult now.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to remember where I saw her from. That is it, Disney Channel.
I forgot what show it was, so I don't watch Disney Channel.
Yeah.
I got asked one of my
nieces.
Yeah, that's a good show. I'm going to keep tuning into that. And it's already hitting number one in the ratings. So they said they've had the highest ratings in like 2 years on CW.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So black people showing up.
I don't know what the CW has. I honestly don't.
What was that slave show they had underground?
Which one?
It was that slave show. What was it called? Underground or something? Or is it
network? No, that was WGN at Underground.
Oh, yeah. See, I get all my Caucasian network mixed up.
CW used to be UPN, and they had all these black shows. But then
it did.
CW.
No, it used to be WB. CW used to be WB.
Right, WB, right. Then they became CW, and they got rid of all the black shows.
They sure did. I remember that vividly.
Yeah, and now, look what's going on. The black show is what is potentially a moneymaker for the station.
And he's still fine out here. I was like, okay, come on. When he was, he had his shirt halfway open with that tuxedo. I was like, okay. I was calling Scooter, too. I was like, okay, Scooter. You're in shape out here in these streets. And then 911, I watched that last night. It was a pretty good show.
Man.
Well, what night did it come on? I forgot. I get my days mixed up.
Wednesday.
Yeah, that's when it was. It was some dude had something stuck in his head. I was like, what the hell? It was one. I think it was one of the firefighters. I was like, God
damn.
Yeah,
it is graphic. It is graphic. I mean, it's a Ryan Murphy show. He's the dude that does the American Horror Story, and he did the other show that was on Fox, the Scream Queens. So it's graphic, but it's a really good show. Aisha Hines, I just want to know, who is her agent? How Aisha Hines always has a job. Always.
I'm trying to think of who that is. Who'd you say that was? Aisha Hines.
She's the black firefighter. She's the woman, the black firefighter.
Oh, yeah. Because she has the show
on.
Before
this, was in Underground, and Underground was canceled. And then
she was in that one and the one that was on Fox with Sanaa Lathan. Yeah, that's the one I watched. She was like
Aisha
the woke pastor.
Working, yeah. And I actually tweeted that. I was like, oh, who is her man? Like, they deserve more money because she always got a gig and she liked it. She didn't say nothing, but she liked it. And I was like, yeah, you better pay them more money because you always working.
And my show, I don't know, this is, if I don't care if black people don't watch this, Lethal Weapon is the show. It's on the second season.
Is it
season.
Really?
Yeah, it's on Fox. On second season, it's an amazing show. Oh my God, it's like a movie every show. It's a great show. And I was like, I think it was some show, I think it was something that came on that night that was premiering. Oh yeah, it was, Black Lightning. It came on the same time as Lethal Weapon. And I was like, and I think Grownish was coming on, and I was like, okay, I'll record that, cause I'm not missing Lethal Weapon for, I was like, I'm gonna record. It was something I was recording, and it came on the same time as Lethal Weapon, and I was like, man, I'm gonna just record this and watch it later, cause I'm not missing Lethal Weapon when it come on. And then, I tweeted that, and Keisha Sharp, I was like, cause I love Damon Wayans and Keisha Sharp together, cause their chemistry together is dope. And Keisha Sharp liked it, I was like, oh shit! I'm out here getting, I don't know why I'm so excited about that, but she's like been my favorite person since Girlfriend. And people always get mad because they got, Jill Marie Jones' character. To me, Keisha Sharp was way funnier than Jill Marie on there. They just liked her because she started out with the show. But when the last season, when they made her a regular, when she came back, she was the funniest one. Like, I still watch the last season of Girlfriend. I got it recorded on DVR, and it's hilarious with all her, like, every episode she's in, it's funny. So I understand why, like, people were like, oh, they were trying to make her the new Tony. I'm like, she was hilarious. I was so mad CW got rid of that show. Like, they should have fucking canceled the game instead of Girlfriends. I was so mad about that. I'm still waiting on that season because they shitted them on that last episode. Because Joe didn't even get married. I was like, what? Like, her husband or her fiance was coming back from Iraq, and that was the end of the episode. I'm like, damn, they got a shitty season finale. Now, that's one reboot that needs to happen. Any reboot that had, like, a messed up ending, y'all got to bring them back. And that's the one they got to bring back. That ending was horrible.
All black
shows. Right.
The white shows get real season ending. They get real season, not season, but series finales. We don't.
Yeah, like, Friends. You know, I remember the last season of Friends, and they were campaigning that shit for like a whole year. Like, this is the last on TV Guides and everything.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
They were talking about Friends, and they were making a big deal about it. I was like, God. Okay. We'll get over it because I'm getting heated talking about it. But what we're going to do, we've been talking for a while. What we're going to do is take a break, and we'll come back. If Will's ready, we're going to do his 6-minute Saturday report.
Seems you're letting it run away.
Hey, that's Layla Hathaway. Baby, Don't Cry. We kicked the set off with Angela Winbush, the lovely, lovely Angela Winbush. Treat you right. Hey, welcome back to the Soul Savage Show here on Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hey, this is how we do it. Hey, Q-Lynn, a couple of things. Before we get into this, we've got some brand new shows here on The Buzz. We've got a great show. Heard you singing after that set. We've got a brand new show. EB, this thing is phenomenal. It's called VT, Voice Tips, if you want to learn how to sing.
Oh, I was hoping you brought that up because I actually listened to it when it premiered, and that show is dope. I like that show. It's to include the listeners in EB if they didn't hear about it. He has his new show. I think it comes on, I forgot what day it came on, but
it comes on Saturdays.
Saturdays, that's when it comes on. What time?
At 7 p.m. here on the West Coast. That's, let's see, 7 p.m. That's 9 p.m. where you are, right?
9 o'clock Central Time and 10 o'clock Eastern Time at Voice Tips it comes on. And what was that? He got like a fancy name. Like, he felt like he went to Juilliard.
It is really incredible. I don't know whether you will ever cover this on your Soul Savage show or not, whether you want to cover some gospel artists ever, but he is part of the Gospel Music Workshop of America, and he is a fantastic Dansby Sturdivant.
That's what it was, Dansby. I was like, this dude got a fancy name, like he make a 1% tax bracket, like we were talking about earlier. I was like, he got a 1% tax bracket name.
this thing is
he sound professional. Look, EB, I was going to explain to EB. I was listening to
okay.
He gives voice lessons based on, like, he does voice lessons with nursery rhymes.
Yes.
It's crazy. I was like, I've heard different kind of techniques with voice coaching, but his, it's pretty cool because I never heard one with nursery rhymes before. I thought that was pretty cool, and he was like demonstrating like his lessons with I guess one of his students or his client.
Right. Yes.
He was just going up an octave, like he was singing like Mary Had a Little Lamb, and then he just made her keep going up octaves. And I thought it was cool.
Yes.
I never heard teachers do nursery rhymes before. I've heard all kind of different techniques, like people use with lips and stuff with enunciating, and they just be like, right. I was like, man, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, they're doing the warm-ups. I've heard, like, singers do that, and then I've heard singers do, like, they'll just do, like, one word, like, it's like meditation or something, and they'll just be like A, B, and C, and stuff like that. But I never heard nursery rhymes, so that show is cool.
Yes.
We gotta get him on the show, cause I was like, yo, we could get him on, like, talk about, like, singers now, and, like, singers from back in the day, and who he thinks is, like, has, like, the best vocals, and who he thinks, has, like, improvement and stuff like that. I think that'd be cool to talk about.
Well, let me know, and I'll get him in studio, I'll get him live in studio, here, and that's no issue, but it is a phenomenal show. It's for the young, old. It doesn't
really
matter
does.
Who you are. He'll teach you how to sing. And we're going 10 straight sessions, and we'll put that on my Facebook also, where you can buy packages to learn how, and he'll teach you how to sing right on the radio. We had a videographer. We have a brand new videographer here.
In the mainstream right now that could use these lessons. I'm like,
yeah, a lot of them in the mainstream.
Absolutely.
Don't that sound cool? We gotta get him on the show, and we can just have like a whole show talking about like vocal lessons, like who he thinks like is like who uses their voice correctly and who he thinks can sing and all that stuff. We can ask some questions like that. I think that'll be a good show.
I'll book it for you. I'll book it for you.
I hope he don't say Jennifer. I asked him who his top five singers is. I hope he don't say Jennifer Hudson, because she fucking yells.
He's gonna say Aretha.
Ooh.
Right. I don't mind that. I'm talking about the ones that be hollering and stuff. I can't do all that hollering.
Oh, I can't wait. This will be a fun show. Now, before
shout out to him. Shout out to Dansby with this Juilliard educated name. And I can't pronounce his last name. That's why I didn't say his last name.
Because
I'm like, what's his last name?
Dansby Sturdivant.
Yeah, I can't pronounce that.
Yeah, but he's incredible. He has students all around the world. And
I thought he was Caucasian at first, but when I was hearing, I'm like, nah, he sounds like a brother that is. That could have been a 70s, been in a 70s group and like made a lot of money. Then he saved that money to like open his own studio and stuff like that. Like he sounded like that. So I was like, is he white? Cause I heard the name. I was like, yo, he sound white. But then I heard him. I was like, yo, he sound like a black dude that goes to church so often and he saves all his money and stuff. And he still like spends it every now and then to like teach the youngins and stuff like that and open in like a vocal studio and stuff like that and has lessons. Yeah, he sound black. I was like, yo, that name.
Yes,
he sounds like real professional too.
Yes. He also teaches piano as well. So he's incredible. He's an incredible coach.
Yeah, because he was like, when he was tuning her into the key, he was like, I was like, oh, he sound like he hitting a piano note right there. Because when anybody that does that, they know how to play piano. Because when they start tuning you in like that, I was like, oh, he gotta know how to play piano. Then when he said he plays piano, I was like, oh, he a real student of music because he was like tuning himself like he was trying to find the note on the piano. I was like, only people that play the piano do that because I do that. I was like
right.
There you go. And if you can't hit that note where that piano is, you can't sing.
Hey, Q Lynn.
He sounds like a good teacher.
Oh, he's great.
But we're going to move on to your segment. We got to get on to your segment because
we will get on to our segment.
Before we go ahead, Amy. So the show again is every Saturday at 7 p.m.
On the West Coast, it's 10 o'clock your time, EB.
7 p.m.
Right.
Pacific time, 9 o'clock
all right.
Pacific
I just,
time.
I want to know for me, and
Pacific
I want
time.
The listeners to know as well, so we all can tune in, all right?
Great. And you can even call in if you have some questions for him. He would love to hear from you.
No, because I'm going to be a heat. Oh, yeah. I'm going to bring the value of the show down. I already told y'all there's other shows on this network that's way better than this one.
No,
Q-Lin, you don't act like he does like I do, so I don't want to bring him in just yet.
Okay, well, you know what, you're gonna have to spend a whole lot of time editing this show with all the cuss words you used tonight, but that's okay, we're gonna move right along.
I sure did though, I did. But it was just mostly talking about like these raggedy people.
Right.
That's the only time I like start cussing like that.
You know, and one thing you left out on raggedy people was Kevin Spacey is also a racist. I don't know if you know that or not.
Right, you're racist on top of
that. On top of that.
Having a fetish for children.
Yep, and as a matter of fact, one of these.
Yeah, we gave appreciation to Angela Winbush. Also, shout out to Janice Marie Johnson that had the same birthday as her yesterday. Phenomenal basis. But what we're going to do right now, we're about to bring in 6 minutes Savvy Report, aka 6 minutes of Rage with Will. We'll get right there.
All right, and I am raging tonight.
Go ahead, Will.
Oh my God,
ahead.
EB and Q-Lin. Oh, I am hot. I'm steaming. You know, it's about 60 degrees, and it feels like it's about 90 because there's so much going on. Did you know that the lawmakers are scrambling right now because we've got less than 2 hours and 20 minutes before the government shuts down. That means that people, these government workers and people like that, and all the facilities and the programs, they won't get paid. But guess who does get paid? Congress get paid. You know, when they wrote that into law, and they made sure that, hey, if the government does shut down, hey, it's okay with us. It's just like with health care. If everybody in the United States loses their health care, did you know the government still, I mean, Congress still gets paid? They just happened to slip that into the law. Am I outraged? You better believe I'm outraged right now. Oh, the Supreme Court just weighs in on the legality of Donald Trump. Hey, you guys' favorite president out there and his travel ban. Oh, boy, the legality of it. Has he done anything that's legal? We'll get back to that later. Hey, did you also know that Mr. Trump, the brilliant Mr. Trump, with all of his brilliant legal advice, one of his lawyers also, allegedly set up a shell corporation in Delaware, of all places, to hide the fact that, somebody was paid $130,000. Oh, this lady said she had an affair with Donald Trump. Obviously. And do you know that payment was paid just before the election? Interesting there. The FBI is reporting, a Russian banker illegally funded money to the NRA. And folks, you know what the NRA is. That's the National Rifle Association, one of Donald Trump's biggest contributors. Ironically, more money poured into this campaign than any other time. The last time the NRA poured in a significant amount of money is about, $10 million when they were trying to get Mitt Romney elected, but amazingly, they reportedly funneled in $13 million into the Trump campaign. The NRA, working with Russians, a Russian banker who is also a criminal, and the Spanish government is also working, looking for this guy. They were going to arrest him for, guess what? Money laundering, which leads me to something else. The mob, the Italian mafia. Someday, some say that our favorite president has ties to the mafia. Did you know that? Oh, my goodness. Oh, and the Italian mafia, and then he stopped working with the Italian mafia and started working with the Russian mafia. Condo sold here in the U.S. by Trump, but he doesn't know anything about that. But, you know, it's funny that a lot of his clients have set up LLCs, just like that lawyer of his set up LLCs. You know, most of you don't know. Did you know you could set up an LLC and you can funnel all kinds of money? You can do all kinds of business practices under the name of an LLC. And it doesn't have a real name. It could have a fictitious name there. All right. But somehow these brilliant lawyers of Trump, they happen to put their name on this document. Oh my God. Is you going to go through all of that trouble and you're not smart enough to leave your name out? The Olympians. Allie Raceman and Jordan Weber confront Larry Nassar at sentencing. Did you know who Larry Nassar is? He was the Olympic coach for these young ladies, and many of them are coming out about sexual harassment. Am I outraged? You absolutely believe that. Oh, not to mention, there is an investigation going on at the White House, in case you folks didn't know about that. We have a special prosecutor. His name is Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller is also investigating what's going on in the Trump campaign. So if you wonder what's going on with all of these smoke screens, porn stars, people acting crazy, the government shutting down, folks, I think it is a smoke screen for what's really going on, because see, there is also an investigation going on that you don't know about. Most of us do, and most of us don't even give a damn, but I'm telling you, you should. That's why we need to get out and vote and talk about some things that's going on. Did you know right now that his campaign, it's mighty incredible that so many people around him in his circle, they are suspicious. Have you heard of a name called Paul Manafort? How about Steve Bannon? Have you heard about that? Oh, now, Robert Flynn. Oh, Michael Flynn. I'm sorry, General Flynn. Oh, Papadopoulos. See, all of these are suspicious characters, and there are about 12 or 13 more that I don't have time in this segment to go over, but there is an investigation going on, and ironically, Steve Bannon, Mr. Trump's right-hand man, his senior advisor, who was fired here not too long ago, is meeting with Robert Mueller. Now, a lot of you guys, maybe you don't even care about this stuff, but I tell you what, this reads better than a Russian spy novel, and you really need to check this thing out. Now, in case you don't know, now, Steve Bannon is going to meet with Robert Mueller. All right. He already met with Congress earlier and refused to answer questions, which I find very, very suspicious. Why is that suspicious? Because while he didn't refuse to answer questions, because the person who was telling him not to answer any questions was the White House. I don't know whether that's legal or not, but this thing is so suspicious. There's so much going on here. My time is up. This is 6 minutes of rage. I've tried to give you a lot in just a little bit short of time, but I hope it made some sense to you. If it didn't, we'll be back next week. Q Lynn and EB, I'm sure you have some questions.
Hey, there we go. I love that song, man. I love it. Like fits in so well with your segment. I was over here doing the Reebok and everything. I was like, hey.
Hey, I had to finish the song though.
Yeah. I was going to ask you something before we go to break, because we run out of time. So you can cue up the song, cue up the Michael McDonald song, because we run out of time. But I was going to ask you, with everything that's going on, I heard something about a government shutdown. What do you make of that, and what do you think is going to happen with that in terms of, like, because they're trying to, I know they're trying to do some, like, bipartisanship with trying to, like, keep it from shut down, but what do you think of that before we go to break?
Wow. That's something else that I wanted to include into our segment, but I know we were running out of time and I didn't include it. This is all a joke, folks, because you have elected senators, you have congressmen, and these cats are getting paid an enormous amount of money, and it's almost like it's a sellout. They had a deal. Okay, as far as the shutdown is concerned, they could have addressed this several months ago, but what happened was they kept kicking the can down the road, and what they did, they came up with these things called CRs. And CRs is a brief thing to extend it just a little bit, extend it another month until you get up to a deadline where you have to. But then the people who have to plan, they don't have the money in their budgets to plan properly because they don't know exactly what Congress is going to do. But so it's a political game. So this is what happened. Donald Trump met with several congressmen last week. Most people saw it on TV, and he says, look, you guys come up with a deal here, and what we're going to do, and I'm paraphrasing, we're going to address the Dreamers first. Those are those 800,000 or so Mexican Americans who came over as children, didn't even know that they were illegal, and the government threw them an okie doke. I mean, it is criminal what the government did to them. They says, okay, if you sign up and you register with the government, all right, meaning that we're going to have your names, addresses, social security numbers, and everything, and where you work, where you go to college, and whatever it is, and we're going to protect you if you do that. Now, guess what? Donald Trump came back several months ago and says, look, I'm ending the DACA Act, and then if we don't come up with something by March, I forgot what the date is in March, then these kids are going to be kicked out. So, so what happens is, with the shutdown, the Democrats are saying, okay, look, we are not going to vote for a spending bill unless you include something that's going to protect these children. And the Republicans don't want to do it. So what happened? They came together in a bipartisan fashion, to put this together, came to a bill and presented it to, our favorite president. And he said he was going to sign it. And he reneged. He says, nope. It does not include a border wall. Come on, man. See, this is the thing about it. You can't trust in it. Go on.
Go ahead.
You can't trust anything that he says.
I was going to ask you, you basically think it's just a hope that you don't think the government's not going to be shut down because they just make it, like, playing games and stuff in the White House.
They
shut down.
Back and forth.
They threatened it some years ago. I forgot what year it was when they were trying to say the government was about to shut down. I forgot.
What they did. Shut it down.
Bush's term. I forgot.
No. They shut it down for 18 days during President Obama's term.
Yep. Yeah, that's why I couldn't remember.
Back in 2013. They shut it down for 18 days. And this is what happens is the government, these cats up there, and most of these guys, are lawyers. Okay. I can't stand lawyers. Lawyers anyway. You know, I've only met one that I like, you know, and that's Ann Wooten Taylor out of Arkansas, who has a show on our station, ironically. You know, I've had, four lawyers and had to fire all four of them before. I mean, you know, it's absolutely incredible. But what happens is, it's greed, Q-Lin. When it comes down to it, it's money, power, and greed. Now, the Republicans, I find it ironic also, if you think about it, the Republicans don't want this investigation to go on as far as looking into Trump's background because they know that something is there. But as far as the shutdown.
I think it's mostly there, the ones that get on TV that say that, but I think the main ones that's in Congress, I think they don't care. But it's not up to them to care about that anyway. This is federal, so they don't have no choice. This is a federal investigation, so they can't, like, interfere with that. unless he tries to. I think a lot of them were, man, we getting all into a tangent on that. Man, I wish we had like 20 more minutes. I think I'm going to try to, we do right now, if we cue that song up, the one song up, so we could do the topic, because I know we're not going to have time to talk about it next week.
Oh my goodness. Okay. You know what? I had going to something else.
Skip the music.
No.
Just get right to the topic, because we run out of time, and yeah, we got to get right to it. So.
Okay. I tell you what, I will play, Michael for, McDonald at the close, if that's okay with you, if you want me to do that.
What do you want to do, EB? You want to play a song or just get right to it?
Yeah, you can play, Michael McDonald as a close if you want to.
Well, what have you guys want to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, but I tell you what, promise.
Because we run out of time out here. Man, we're going to get this together one show. We're going to have one show where everything moves smoothly. I'm good now because I ain't got to edit nothing on this show. Because we're going to hit this right on the money and we're going to get, because I only got like a few points.
No problem, Q-Lynn. And you know, it's my fault. I'm gonna get off right now.
Radio, so, y'all, I'm trying to get it together, y'all. We're gonna get it together one show. We're gonna get one show where we get everything done. Y'all know I got ADD, so show, format gets derailed most times. So when I start talking, so.
Who cares? You know, the shows with the flaws, right. Those are the best shows anyway.
They don't even care about that. Most of the time is what we be talking about, they care about the most. They don't even care about the format. If we just sit here and randomly talk about stuff, they don't care. But I'm just saying, in my head, I be like, oh, this is going to happen. And then when it's like, this ain't happening. So I'm like, I'm trying to like condense the time. It's really hard to do it on radio. That's why I was telling y'all, this ain't a podcast. This is a radio show. Because if we don't hit that mark, then it's over with. But I'm running out of time now to talk about this, but we get to the topic. Topic talk about culture appropriation versus culture appreciation. And I'm trying to still outline my thoughts. So EB, if you know, you go ahead, because I'm still trying to get my thoughts together.
Yeah, I think, so we were supposed to talk about this last week when, was it Justin Timberlake and, who's the other dude?
Was it Bruno Mars?
Yeah, Bruno Mars. they were in the news.
I'm sorry.
Because, yeah, that shows you I don't listen to him. But they were in the news because Justin had a comeback album, and Bruno Mars, of course, is everywhere right now. And I can honestly say I don't really listen to either of those people. Their music just.
I can understand Bruno. You don't listen to Justin? Why? You didn't like his first two albums?
I've never listened to Justin at all. Like, it's just.
Wow.
Something about it just seems inauthentic to me.
Wow.
I've never, ever. I didn't even listen to NSYNC when, you know. I remember I used to get annoyed. I remember BET used to start it. They started playing NSYNC videos, and I was annoyed. Like, why are they playing NSYNC? Like, they play on
NSYNC.
Because
it sounded
all
like
day.
R&B.
Right.
They had like
exactly.
R&B.
So I was just like, that annoyed me. But I do think there's a difference between appreciation and appropriation. And with both of those people, I get appropriation all day. I get that they are going to make this music as long as it sells. I think that if Justin or Bruno were to release a quote-unquote funk or R&B album and it didn't do big numbers, they would switch it up in a heartbeat. And that's okay. I don't want people to think I'm you know, jumping on Justin and Bruno, but I'm saying what I believe to be true. That's okay if they decided not to do that. But then there are artists like, I don't know, I talk about Gerard Lawson on Twitter all the time. There are people like Jordan Riquet and, of course, the old school artists like Bobby Caldwell and Michael McDonald, Hall & Oates, Tina Marie, Amy Winehouse, who passed, but who I feel it was an appreciation of the music. It was something that I felt they were true to, and Tina Marie is a perfect example. Because Tina Marie never had that really big crossover. Like, Tina Marie made black music. She made soul music until the day she died. I think Love a Girl in the mid-'80s was like the...
Yeah, that was the pop hit. Dinga.
Yeah, that was a pop hit. That was like her crossing over. But even after she went back to the sound that she loves and knows, I think there are a lot of artists that would not do that, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah, it's like, to me, I mean, I can get you not liking Justin Timberlake, but to say, like, he's, like, appropriating, it's like, now you're reaching. And the same with Bruno. Even though on the past shows with people were saying, they were, like, thought that I was saying that Bruno was, like, being basically a culture vulture, and that wasn't my point. My specific, I said the thing that he's doing in terms of the music he's doing now, it seems like a marketing scam to me. Just for me knowing his beginning, because he started doing pop music, doing fusions of different kinds or whatever. You know, I listen to some of it. It's not like I hate Bruno. It's just that you, like, your whole career is, like, mimicking somebody else. Like, you come out, like, doing, like, feature songs, like, writing for people, cool, whatever. And then when you do your own music, you got your own hit records. You own, like, war shows, dressing like Frankie Lyman / James Brown and doing... Okay, okay, let me stop trying to make jokes for it, because I know people are going to get mad. Okay, my whole point in the appropriation versus appreciation is the difference is you can tell the authenticity. Like you said with Tina Marie, you could tell that was authentic to what she was bringing to the culture in terms of the musical art form. That was real authentic, what she felt like with Michael McDonald. That was real authentic with Tom Jones, even though you would have to consider him so just from his influences. He was influenced by James Brown, you know, all those acts back then. That was his influence. And then also Bobby Caldwell, you know, you had Simply Red, you had, you know, the Amy Winehouses and all that stuff. And I think people just like making this conversation that started is stupid to me, because if you look at it, these artists, yeah, they may have influence in it, but if they, what was it? I think it was Michael Bolt. He had sampled the originals. He did a rendition of, I should say, a Baby I'm For Real. You heard his version of that?
Yeah.
He gave credit to it. And right. Just to bring it into modern times, Childish Gambino, I mentioned before, I didn't even know that Donald Glover was Childish. I didn't know that. All I've known was that he was a rapper, but I never heard none of his music. So when I heard Awaken My Love, the reason, that I listened to it in the first place was because I saw Questlove put on Instagram. He said, yo, he's like, I woke D'Angelo up at 4 a.m. to, like, make him listen to this album. And he's like, yo, this is like, you know, he was putting on so much. He's like, yo, this is like funkadelic. This brought me back to hearing this record from 1974. I was like, he's putting a lot on this album. I'm like, let me go listen to this, because he's putting a lot of shit on it and hyping it up. Because I was skeptical of, like, why he was hyping it up so much. And he had the picture of the cover. And so when I went on there and listened to it, I was like, like, everything that I listened to in terms of, like, funkadelic, Sly Stone, was all that influence was in Childish Gambino record. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Like, this is, like, real, like, music. Like, this is, like, when you're influenced by, like, artists, this is what it's supposed to sound like. It's supposed to sound like I can hear, like, his voice in there. Even though I heard the funkadelic and Sly Stone, I heard what he was trying to say with that. And then on top of that made it more authentic to me was that he actually had George Clinton credited on one of the records on there. It's called Riot. He had George Clinton, like, because he sampled something in there, and he had George Clinton on the record. And my whole thing is the difference between appropriation and appreciation is basically giving credit. And I don't mean just, like, putting, like, whoever it was, like, he just had the video. I told you I liked the Finesse video. The difference between that, to me, is giving credit. Like, when I brought up Michael Bolton, like, him giving credit. Like, paying the artist that you're inspired by. Not just, and the reason why I say it's inauthentic, because he's a musician and he should know better. I can name like four tracks from that 24 Karat Magic that he flipped the chords around a 90s song to make it sound like something, to make it sound original. And it's not original. Like, he owed credit to Men at Large. Man, I could point, like, see, y'all, some of y'all too young to, like, know where this music, like, y'all hype up the 90s so much that y'all don't realize that it was, like, key groups in there that had, like, great music, but nobody, like, paid, like, everybody always say Boyz II Men. Who else? H-Town or Jodeci. Like, if most people listening, and probably don't even know who Men, you know who Men at Large is? E.B.?
Yeah, of course.
It's a lot of people don't know that, so he's taking songs from there and flipping the melody and trying to make it seem like it's original. And that shit ain't cool. It's a song, right, that, what's it called? That's What I Like.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that? He's taking from a Men at Large song, like, blatantly. Like, it's a 90s record. I'm trying to pull it up on my phone now. I wish I could play it for y'all so y'all can hear how similar that record is to that song. But he blatantly took Funny Feelings. If you're listening right now, YouTube or whatever, however you get your music, look up Men at Large Funny Feelings. And then play that back next to, once you hear Funny Feelings, play that back next to That's What I Like and tell me that ain't the same song. Like, it's shit like that. Like, if you say you're inspired by somebody, cool, but give credit to where it's due. Don't be trying to act like you giving, like, homage and that you just created this on your own. Like, no, nigga, you stole that. And you banking off of it. Just like what I said with Jimmy Jam. He, a roundabout way, said that he brought him in the studio. He showed him the chords. This motherfucker said, scratch your chords. I got what I needed from that. And took that and put it on the record. He didn't credit him on that album. So you basically stole inspiration. So you basically had him, however he paid him, whatever, but he ain't credited on the album. That's what I'm saying. You can be inspired by everybody, but if you ain't cutting that check, what is it? And people don't think that's a big deal. They like, oh, well, I like how I'm saying. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that if you're going to call out somebody for one thing, you got to do it for the same thing. I ain't never heard... You can't say that Justin Timberlake is appropriating when the artist, he's picking specific producers to make the music. Timbaland and Pharrell, that's who his producers are. And from last time I checked, I didn't know that Pharrell and Timbaland were made black music. I didn't know, did you know that? I didn't know that. I thought they were just black producers that made music.
That's like a whole other topic when you have producers right. Like Timberland and Pharrell who really built up their resume and created signature sounds for black artists. And as soon as they made the right amount of money, they kind of abandoned those artists. And now they work with, you know, the Justin Timberlakes and
so maybe that was their plan all along. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it could be.
Yeah, they pulled from like David Bowie. Like maybe they always wanted to make that music, and then just
right
when they finally had the hit records, they wanted to make that. Because when I hear Timbaland's music, I don't hear because he started out with Missy. So
right.
You know, if you read his book, you know how he came in the game. So he only had that one way of getting it. Like back then, that's when black music was at its height, like in terms of like groups. He was making music for H-Town and wouldn't even get credit for it. Like Devontae like took one of his songs and didn't give him credit for it. That was crazy. But it's a whole other stuff. I just think the whole thing, I'm not saying that they're not appropriating, but my thing is that the clear way of showing that it's authentic in terms of the music industry perspective is giving credit. That's always what it's been. Even it goes beyond like R&B and hip hop, country.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you're gonna do something, if you're gonna make something similar, like it was a country artist that did a Brian McKnight song. What's it called? Back at One. I forgot the name of it. Country singer. That song was like a top 10 hit on a country records like a couple years ago. A lot of people don't know that. But that's authentic. That just like that country singer doing a rendition of that song, he gave credit to Blinding Night. Like, that's his song. That's what I'm saying. You can flip it any other way. The way you can tell if something's authentic and them bringing that in is if they give credit, period. And I'm not just saying, like, if you're on an award show, like, give, like, oh, yo, shout out to Morris Day, they started it. No, give him credit on that album for taking that sample in there from the Time record or Zapp and Roger. Like, don't get some cat on that does the, that mimics Zapp and Roger. Like, get the actual people that was there when they made the record. Like, come on. Like, it's not that hard, but people don't look at it from that point of view. They always say, like, it's always like these, and I even know people that even like Justin Timberlake like that. Now they like bringing up stuff that don't even like equate to that. So I'm like, it's wild to me, like these wild like statements people make. And it's not even me taking up for Justin, because I don't like both arguments at all of calling Bruno appropriating culture, whatever, like his racially ambiguous, whatever. I don't care about none of that. I'm saying that it's the same thing with Justin. Like, if he came out with a record and didn't give credit for it, then he's wrong. I haven't heard none of his new music, so I can't say what it sound like. I don't know if it's country, pop, or R&B. I don't know what the hell it is. What I'm saying is that the clear, it's gotta be funny. I don't know what it is, but I'm just saying, in terms of the authenticity, whatever genre it is, you have to give credit. Hip hop, that's what started hip hop. That's what got a lot of hip hop artists in trouble because they didn't want to cut the check. Or sometimes the case was that the older artists didn't want them to sample it because they didn't want, you know, it was a whole thing. When hip hop was getting its real push, like 80s, it was a lot of those artists from like back in the day. I don't know specifically who, but they didn't want their music sampled. I could say Prince didn't want his music sampled. It's like a lot of artists like back then that didn't want it sampled for whatever reason. But at the same time, some hip hop artists, they didn't want, and just like now it's changed. They don't even sample music anymore because they don't want to have to deal with like how long it takes. But like I said, if you don't do that, if you don't create something, it better be original and it better be yours. But it's hard to do that because it's only so many chords. You know what I mean? And sometimes it all blends together. But I would call what Bruno's doing is just the same thing as what John Lennon did. Like, he would just take chords he heard from other songs and flip it. And it's a way to be genius about it, but he's actually, like, trying to take credit for it like it's original. That's what my problem is. Like, at least John Lennon, like, admitted that he did that shit. Like, Bruno's not admitting that. Like, he trying to make it seem like he made that shit. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's... I get the influence. I get he's influenced by whoever, but I'm saying that in terms of album credit wise, if you gonna like do that, then you need to not just give homage to Living Color. You need to like cut the check to whoever it was you stole that thing from. I'm just saying. Cause I could point out a lot of songs that sound like, that's what I'm saying. That's why he getting sued by so many artists. Who was it? Angie Stone group? What was that hip hop group called?
The Sequence.
They sued them for that song. Because it sound like it. Like the hook sound or whatever, the bridge going into the bridge, it sound like that. That's what I'm saying. It's probably like 2-3 different artists suing them for that funk, that Uptown Funk song. Because it sound like everything. It might be just with, I think both of them were credited on it. But anyway, that's just my opinion. I feel like if you ain't giving up them coins, if you ain't cutting that check, then it ain't authentic to me. And I like the song. I told you I like the Finesse video. I like it. I'm actually looking forward to watching it on TV. But in terms, like I said before, if he start taking people things that don't belong to him, I'm gonna be mad about it. And I'm very confident that I don't think that's gonna happen. Cause I heard of some of the people that's in the voting academy, the members, and I think we good. I think the one that I want to win is gonna win. But that's all I have to say. What else you have to tell? Cool, we go.
I mean, that's really all I had to say. I think I think now, in the way the industry is set up, people are going to make the type of music that they think will sell. I think that's just the bottom line. If it's going to sell, I'm going to make it. And I think that for me, I can only speak for me, the test is when you do make, you know, a certain sound and it doesn't sell, are you going to continue to stay true to that and make that? Or
right
after it doesn't sell, are you going to run to another sound that you know will sell? And that's, I mean,
right.
I think that has less to do with any type of appropriation than it just does artistry and what you want to express to the world.
I agree with that. I just think, yeah. So, explain again what's your difference between appropriation and appreciation to you?
The difference is with appreciation, it goes back to to the artistry, and it's a clear original concept, but you can see different influences there. Maybe you'll use a certain interpolation of a song, or maybe a bass line or a certain chord here or there, and you give clear props to the originators of the sound, saying that you were influenced by this person, that person, that person. And with appropriation, it's kind of, well, I'm going to make this because, you know, I know it'll sell. It's hot at the moment. But I have no real history or understanding of what I'm doing, if that makes sense. I'm making this, but I'm not going to credit, you know, this producer, or I'm not going to credit this vocalist or that pianist. I'm not going to credit these people, but I'm going to make this music, and I'm going to get this money. So that's what I think appropriation is.
Damn, what you described is what I just said about Bruno, about him. I don't know. I just think it's a marketing scam. I think specifically with Bruno, I just think it's a marketing scam. It's not even about appropriation to me. It's just like,
yeah, it's all marketing.
Everything, where he's selling to, like the fact he did that whole show at the Apollo where most black people are, and the fact that mostly black people bought this album. And it touched enough. It was Caucasian. He put enough Caucasian sprinkle in it to where they would like it. It ain't too black to where they can't jam to it either. And it's like, that's what it was. And it's like, my God,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
they gotta fall for it every time. Like, I'm
like
what's
the
difference? Right, go ahead.
No, I'm saying it's like the whole, because I still haven't heard Finesse or the video. I haven't seen the video or anything, but I know that it's based off of, I guess they're saying, The Living Color and other 90s things, and they put Cardi B on it because they know right now Cardi B is hot. That's going to sell. Right now, 90s nostalgia is at an all-time high. Everybody wants a throwback to the 90s to go back to the 90s.
Yeah, you know, and that's what makes me so pissed.
So that's what you do. That's what, I mean, and it could be you. It could be your record label. Either way, that's the marketing. That's what type of music you make, because you know it will sell. It's less about the feeling and more about how we gonna get this money. That's just it.
Right. And yeah, I think they're on the same label, I think Atlantic or whatever, but I think they were just like, yeah, like you said, they were like, oh, this would be a, like, big if y'all be on a record together and sell whatever. But I just think, man, it's just simple. I just feel like it's a marketing scam, and I feel like if y'all saying that Justin Timberlake is culture appropriating, then y'all got that same, like, idiotic, like, conclusion that y'all made with that. Y'all got to make the same idiotic conclusion with Bruno, and y'all saying, oh, he gets credit. And no, he don't, because he ain't paid nobody that he's stealing from. I'll say it. He's stealing from people, because I already heard one record where it sound like, I already told y'all, the Minute Large record. He stole that record. I don't care. He thought that shit sounds too similar. And those chords, it's just like with the Pharrell record, with the Robin Thicke one. And
the Robin Thicke, what is it called, Blurred Lines. The way Pharrell did that with the drum arrangement is the same shit with the piano chords. All you gotta do is pull it up and listen to it. He stole that shit from them. And I'll still listen to it. It's still cool, whatever, but you ain't credit nobody. You just switched the chords. Just cause you switched the chords around don't mean you didn't steal from it. It's the same thing. And that's the, and like I'm saying, if y'all gonna chastise Pharrell for the Blurred Lines record, y'all gotta do the same thing with Bruno. Cause I could point out, I got like 3 more records from that album I could pull up that y'all claim to like 90s R&B nostalgia or whatever, but y'all don't even listen to like Men at Large. Y'all don't listen to none of that. That's why he can get away, cause he basically, that's why I know it's a scam, cause he picking shit from the 90s that nobody would listen to. Like Portrait, like who knows Portrait? Like Off Jump, what 20-year-old know, think that, what 18 or 19-year-old you think knows what Portrait, the 90s?
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, they don't know Portrait. They don't know Men at Large. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's easy. I'm just saying, don't be just taking shit thinking that it's original. Everybody knows it's 90s records, but which 90s record? I can pull up the 90s record that he said. That's what I'm saying. If I'm going to call something out, I can point exactly what it is. But Justin Timberlake, y'all making the same stupid argument. And I'm saying that it's not culture appropriation to me. I just think it's a marketing scam in terms of Bruno Mars. I think it's a complete marketing scam. It has nothing. And I think the race part is just that y'all just gonna buy anything that sounds black, y'all just gonna buy it. So that's just my opinion. We, at the end of the show, man, I was trying to conclude at 5, but I got kind of riled up talking about that whole music credit thing. I think we wrapped up pretty good. We didn't go over a little bit. We went over a little bit, but that's all right. What you got going on, EB? For the next couple of weeks, what you got going on?
I got a couple friends doing some DJ gigs this weekend. So tomorrow I'll be hitting up like 3 spots because I like to try to support my people, especially DJs. Y'all know I have an immense appreciation for DJs. So I'm going to try to hit them up and listen to what they're putting down. Everybody's doing different music, which I think is great. And Sunday I'm trying to relax, trying to cook me a nice meal, put my feet up, and get ready to do it all again with the work week, you know? That's it.
That's what's up. Yeah, man, thank y'all for tuning in. Soul Savage Radio. We didn't do a Savage Heathen talk last week because I was trying to hurry to get up out of here. I was like, all right, peace, y'all. I was trying to hurry to get up out of here. But, yeah, I ain't got nothing going on. Oh, yeah, on the show, man, we got so many guests. I can't wait to confirm. I can't wait. It's some of them I still got locked down. But we got some great producers. Well, I'll tell y'all these producers and things that we got coming on our show. I think a couple musicians. I ain't confirmed yet. Pretty popular out here. But listen, y'all, we got some great things happening on the show. And I can't wait to announce all the different guests we have coming on the upcoming weeks. And yeah, we should have a fun time. I know next week should be fun. Savvy Heathen Talk, you got one? I'm trying to think of one real quick.
Yeah, you know what? I do got one. Beyonce is trash.
Oh, I think I got one. I just thought of one. This is for 50 Cent of Ja Rule. This song that Will is about to cue up, I think this is dedicated to you. I'm going to try to do my Michael McDonald voice. I'm trying to save it up. I was trying to save it up for this moment. But this is to 50 Cent and Ja Rule. I keep forgetting y'all not hot anymore. I keep forgetting that y'all never sell a record again. That's why Savvy Heathen Talk. Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll be back next week every Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific time. I was about to say 8 to 10 Central time. I'm all over the place. 7 to 9 Central time and 8 to 10 Eastern time. We'll be back.
Yep.
We out.
Oh, it's been great. Oh, the Soul Savage Show with EB and Q-Lynn Green. You know, sometimes the imperfection, hey, turns out to be the best shows. That's right.
Okay, we're good. Y'all like my Michael McDonald voice?
You've been listening to the Soul Savage Show with EB and Q-Lynn Green. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget tomorrow.
Well, do a Michael McDonald voice. Do you. sing along to it.
Oh, yeah.
Do the Michael McDonald voice. Sing a song.
You don't want me to do that, girl? And we'll do, and we'll sing. No. We'll save that when we do our karaoke. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, our karaoke throwdown. Oh, that's coming real soon. All right. Hey, folks. Hey, listen in. Also, don't forget. Oh, boy. I'm ready for that. Hey, EB, Q-Land, don't forget listening tomorrow night for VT Voice Tips. 7 p.m. PST.
You said email back to worship. Yeah. I need to get my life right.
Oh, my God. Anyway, folks, thank you for another crazy show. All right. We're out.
Love y'all. We out.
Bye, y'all.